chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And as you find that, would you stand with me in honor of reading God's Word? We're going to begin at the beginning of chapter 5 and read right through verse 8 this morning. We are studying together the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes, dear friends, are not a do list for us. They are a what? Do you remember? They're a be list. They're not something that you say, well, I'm going to do this today. It would be nice if we could do that, but folks, they are a be list. They are what we are to be with God's strength and with God's help. Jesus, seeing the multitudes, he went upon a mountain, and when he was seated, his disciples came to him. Now, is this the 12? No, it's all the disciples. It's not just the 12. All those who were following him at that time came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. In today's passage, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Read that with me. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Folks, would you like to see God? Father, that is our prayer. Would you help our hearts to be pure in the manner that we see you, Lord, because we know that it is our heart. It is the cloudiness of the eye of the heart that keeps us from seeing you. So, Lord, help us to see you. In all things that you're doing, reveal yourself, Lord, that we might not only see you, but join you in what you're doing. Amen and amen. Would you be seated? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Friends, isn't that the desire of every Christian? Isn't that the desire of every true religion? To see God. Isn't that what we want, or is it? Maybe what we're saying is, you know, we just want to see God in portions when we're ready for Him. But folks, if you're a Christian, if you love the Lord your God, that's your heart's desire, is to see the Lord, to see God. But according to this scripture that we just read, who is it that's going to see God? The pure in heart. The pure in heart. And who are the pure in heart? Folks, we're going to have a lot of time to digest this, but we're going to spend a little time in it this morning. Who are the pure in heart? It's set out early in the Beatitudes, and that's one reason that I read all of the Beatitudes as we're coming to the one we're looking at each week. But the pure in heart is set out early in the Beatitudes. In the beginning, we realize that it says that blessed are the poor in spirit. Remember? Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who realize that they have an impure heart and need help with it. In other words, realize that you have an impure heart and you've got an opportunity through God for it to be made pure. Are you with me? Can you make your heart pure on your own? Absolutely not. So we realize that we are poor in spirit, where we need help with the pureness of a heart, and we mourn our spiritual poverty, and it leads us then to the one and the only one that can heal a heart that needs purifying and actually help us to walk with Christ. That's how it starts. Those early Beatitudes lead us to finding pure hearts. You see, that's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. The gospel of Jesus Christ is always about the heart. It's about the soul of an individual. Every teaching of Christ Jesus is about the heart. Everything that he tells you, everything that we read in the Word, any instruction he gives us, any command, it's always about the heart. And even if it mentions the body, it's because it's going to lead the body to quit looking at itself and move to the heart. Every command from Christ is about the heart. He condemned the Pharisees because their emphasis was on external rules and not on heart rules. Are you with me? You remember what Jesus said about the Pharisees? He said, "You brood of vipers." He said, "You grave full of dead men's bones." He said, "You have whitewashed tombstones, but inside you're nothing but rotting flesh." Why? Because they were all about the external rules and not having a pure heart before God. Externally, they were great rule followers. They had a lot of rules. But inwardly, they were full of wickedness. That's why Christ condemned them. They were much like today's liberals, people. They were much like today's liberals. They sought to change things externally to look better by having more rules, but not about changing their heart to be like God. They emphasized more rules, more laws of religion, but they forgot what Jesus called the weightier matters of the law. They forgot about loving God and loving your neighbor. What did Jesus say was the greatest command of all? To what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. And he added one to that. The second command was what? To love your... Look at your neighbor right now and say, "I love you." Oh, go ahead. It's not going to hurt you. And if it really disturbs you to say that, just say, "I love you in the Lord," okay? That just means somebody who's still really working on loving you. "I love you in the Lord." Let me share an example with you. Do you remember Dr. Bill Jones that came and filled the pulpit for me not too long ago? He wrote a book, and I started reading it because I was already into the Beatitude sermons, and he found out that I was doing that, and he left me a book. I thought, man, he should have left me that before I started it. But it was on the Beatitudes, and he did a wonderful job, had some really neat things in there. He brought out an understanding this, and he brought out a teaching that I had not heard, and that was that on the night that they interrogated Jesus Christ, on the night after the Lord's Supper, after that first Lord's Supper, after they had arrested him and they took him to Caiaphas' house, they began to interrogate Jesus Christ. And on the night that they interrogated him, it was okay by their rules. Are you listening? It was okay by their rules that they slapped Jesus, that they cursed Jesus, that they spit on Jesus, that they beat him, that they pulled out his beard, but they dared not take him to Pilate yet. Do you know why? Because they had a rule that you could not pass judgment on a man in the dark. Oh, beat him, slap him, tear his beard out, humiliate him. But they weren't going to pass judgment on him yet, even though they had already passed judgment on him in their heart. Why? Because they were rule followers. Folks, if all you are is a rule follower, you are forgetting the weightier matters of God, and that is that you love God. And you don't love God because you follow a rule. You follow a rule because you love God. Do you see the difference? You are never going to gain heaven by your rule following. You are only going to gain heaven by the blood of Jesus Christ. When he loves you so much, you have a desire for the heart to change. You have a desire to love God. These men, these Pharisees, were meticulously external. Folks, Jesus emphasized the heart, not the head. Are you with me? He said it's your heart that matters. He never commends intellectualism. I'm not saying that being smart is not important. I'm not saying that being an intellectual is not good. I'm not saying that you shouldn't try to grow and learn and be more educated. What I'm trying to say is that is not everything. Matter of fact, if you can get so caught up in knowledge and education that you become what Jesus called a Gnostic, or what was called somebody who literally worshiped knowledge instead of worshiping God. Deeper understanding can come through head knowledge. I want you to hear this. A deeper understanding can come through head knowledge as you read, but it doesn't become the important thing in your life until it becomes heart knowledge. Because you see, salvation comes through heart knowledge. A deeper faith comes through heart knowledge. It's knowing and learning of Christ Jesus that makes the difference. Now understand this, that true and undefiled doctrine is vital. We've got to understand the Word of God, what it says, how it's applied. But we have to constantly remind ourselves, dear friends, that the Christian faith is not only a matter of what we know, nor is it just a matter of what we believe. Because if you want to go back and look at the gospel and look in the Word of God to what it says about what we know, James chapter 2 verse 19 is a good one for you to know. Because James chapter 2 verse 19 says, you believe in one God? You do well, for the demons believe and are greatly afraid. So is all you got is a belief in God? If you've got a head knowledge of God, you're on the same plane as the demons. You've got to have more than a head knowledge. You've got to have more than just a belief that God exists. You have to have a heart transformation where you become born again through the blood of Jesus Christ. True Christianity is not a head knowledge, folks. It is a condition of your heart. It's a matter not just who we know, it's a matter of who we love. Hello? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. It's a matter of who you love. Do we love the Lord God? That's the question. Not what do you know about Him. Then once you love Him, you certainly want to know all you can about Him. Amen? You see, our heart is the center of who we are. That's what God's Word is saying. It's our heart, the spirit of us, our emotions, our personality, and it's always the heart that gets us in trouble. When the heart looks away from God, when the heart looks away from truth, the heart is the seed of our trouble. Matthew chapter 18, verse 9 tells us, says, if your eye offends you, if it sins, pluck it out, throw it away. Gentlemen, have you ever had your eye offend you? Of course. Let me just answer this. Yes, you have. Have you ever had your hand offend you? The Bible says if it offends you, cut it off. It's better to enter heaven without an eye, without a hand, than it is to be separated from God. What is this saying? If this was the truth and we take it literally in this manner, then folks would go around eyeless and handless. So what is it saying? What it's saying literally is get rid of the source of your sin, people. Cut it off. Stay out of those places. Stay away from those things that offend God. So get rid of the temptations. So let me ask you this. Is it then the hand that has offended God? Is it then the eye that has offended God? No. It's the heart that led them to do the wrong thing. Does that make sense? Folks, that's kind of like the argument that's out there, you know, that says that that guns kill people. Listen, it's people that kill people. Now, I'm not saying that things are not abused and misused in our day. They are, as they always have been. But it's not the item. It's the heart. Just like the hand and the eye. Today's society tells people, oh, it's not your fault that you have sin in your life. You're sinning because of your environment. It's your mama's fault. It's your daddy's fault. It's your grandparents' fault. It's your brother's fault. It's your sister's fault. And they say it's your environment. Listen, that's not only an excuse, it's a lie. Let me just say that again because I hope all of you understand this. When the society says that your environment is what causes your sin, it is an outright lie of Satan. Even a perfect environment cannot keep you from sinning. Where was the first man and woman when they fell? Hello, people. Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden. There were no men and women of sin there. There was nothing there that was any better for them. And yet they chose from their heart to sin against God. When we search and we find the true cause of sin, when we find that true reason for the wretchedness in life, we always find that the desire for sin does not come from our environment, but from the heart. It comes from your heart. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19, he said, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts. Wait a minute. Out of the what? Wait a minute. Out of the eye proceeds evil thoughts. Out of the hand. Out of the environment. That's not what our Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Murders. Adulteries. Fornications. Thefts. False witness. Blasphemies. Folks, it's the heart that we need to deal with, not the environment. I'm not saying that some folks don't need help for their environment. I'm saying that they cannot blame it for their sin. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 8 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Have you ever seen a great kid come from a bad environment? Hello, teachers? Parents? Have you ever seen a bad kid come from a really good environment? Of course we have. It's not your environment. It's your heart. It's not education. Because you can be raised right, you can be educated to the hilt, and still be wicked to the core. It's that core that's the problem, is it not? It's the heart that's the problem. And that's why it is the heart that we need to work on. Jesus said, the pure in heart shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, he said. Being pure in heart means what? It means to truly desire to be like the Father. Now, how many of us here have been like Jesus our entire life? Anybody here can say, I'm just like Jesus today. Listen, none of us can say that. You know why? Because we have sin in our life. But do we have the desire to be like Christ? Do we have a desire to turn away from our sin, which is to repent? Do we have that desire to follow Christ and to do what He calls us to do every moment of the day? You know, another word that the Bible uses for a pure heart or being pure is called simple. And even the scripture says that your eye needs to be simple. In other words, it needs to be singular, looking to Christ. So that word simple means without hypocrisy. Not two-faced, in other words. Nothing hidden. Single in purpose. But isn't it true, dear friends, that even after we're born again, and we want to serve God, and we do want to serve God when we're born again, amen? We have that desire to serve the Lord. But even when we're born again and we want to serve God, our problem before God is that our heart is still divided. Our heart is divided. Part of my heart truly wants to worship God. Part of my heart really wants to please the Father. Part of my heart wants to walk away from all sin and walk in a pure path to keep my heart, my mind, my eyes single right on God and to never look away. And yet, there's another part of me that selfishly wants the world that I live in. Paul Paul describes this in Romans chapter 7. If you've got time this afternoon, go back and read Romans chapter 7, especially beginning there in verse 13 and following. He talks about this divided heart and what he means. Let me read a portion of that from 22 and 24, 25. He says, I delight in the law of God, but I see another law in my members. Hello? Division already. He says, I delight in the law of God, but I see another law in my members. In other words, my body. Warring against the law of my mind. With the mind, I serve the law of God. But with the flesh, I serve sin. Who will deliver me from this death? And later he says, thank God, Jesus Christ. He's the only deliverance we have from this, friend. He's our only answer. He's the only remedy. In Psalms chapter 86, verse 11, we've got our answer for this need. It comes in Christ, but in Psalms chapter 86, verse 11, the psalmist prayed and asked God, he said, unite my heart. Hello? Do we have two different hearts in our body? Yes, we do. When it comes to the Spirit, we have two different hearts. We have the heart for Christ and we have the heart for self. And the psalmist recognized this and he said, God, unite my hearts. Unite my heart so that it's one single heart. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Our problem is that we have an impure heart. Our problem is that our heart is divided. It's not single anymore. It doesn't just look to Christ. It looks at Christ and it looks at the world. We've got to surrender our whole heart to God. Not just half of our heart. Not just a portion of our heart. Our whole heart needs to be put in the hands of Christ Jesus so that He can heal its division and to unite it in one in His name to fear His name. That's what it means to be pure in heart, to be undivided. And then he gives a promise. He said, blessed are the pure in heart. Why? For they shall see God. Do you want to see God? So does that mean that those who fear God are going to see God right here, right now? Yes and no. No and yes. Let's talk about that. First of all, does that mean that we are going to catch a vision and we're going to see God in all of His glory? No. How do we know this? Because Exodus chapter 33, verse 18 through 23 reminds us of that time when Moses went up on the mountain to receive the law of God. And he said, God, I want to see You. God, I want to look at You. And what did God say? God said, I'll let you see My goodness. I'll let you, in other words, I'll let you see My afterglow. Why? Because no man can see My glory and live. You want to see God? Trick question, preacher. Do you want to see God? We do want to see God. So it's no, we're not going to see God in here, as in God's just going to manifest Himself right in front of us. Although He did do that. It was called a theophany when the angels came, but it was in a form that men could stand to see. Looked like an angel. But yes, we are going to see God. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 7, listen to what He said. He said, if you had known Me, who's speaking? Jesus. Jesus said, if you had known Me, you would have known My Father also. And from now on, you know Him and you have seen Him. Who's He talking to? His disciples. He said, if you have seen Me, you've seen who? You've seen Abba. You've seen our daddy. You've seen the Father. If you've seen Me, you've seen Him. The meaning here is that God the Father was fully revealed in Jesus Christ. So if you want to see the Father, look at Jesus. If you want to understand the Father, look at Jesus. And this promise is given to us now. Do we see God in all of His glory? No, we couldn't stand it here. but we can absolutely see Him here as we understand and we follow and we learn to love the person of Jesus Christ. His Holy Spirit reveals Him to us and we see Him around us. This promise is fulfilled now in a way, but it is going to be totally fulfilled later when we have those glorified eyes and we can see Him face to face. Those who love God do see Him now. And they see Him where others cannot. You know, I told you about Dr. Bill Jones in that little book. He told a little story. He told a story about his church that were meeting for a prayer meeting one evening. And they met together to pray because it was so dry. The land was parched. They were so over in need of rain that everything was drying up and dying. And they all met together to pray for rain, specifically to pray for rain. And they prayed for rain in earnest. And he said that as they were walking out of the church, they began to hear thunder. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. And as they got to the door, it began to sprinkle. And before they got to their cars, it just began to pour down rain. And some were praising God. And some of them said, well, it was in the forecast. Let me ask you, how many times in Texas has it been forecasted to rain and we didn't see a drop for another 3 months? Some believe that it rained because it was in the forecast. And some believe that it rained because God answers prayer. He made this point that someone who is pure in heart, that those who seek God the Father will see Him in every part of their life. Where other people see a coincidence, we see a divine appointment. The pure in heart will see God. We see God in His creation, amen? Some people look at the Grand Canyon and they go, man, that is a mighty big hole. And the first time that I saw the Grand Canyon, I just went, oh, Lord, my God. When I, in awesome wonder, consider all Thy hands have made. Those who love God will see God, and those who don't, won't. We see God in His creation. We see God in His activities around us. We see God's guiding hand through history, do we not? We see God in answered prayer. We know Him by experience, and we feel His presence. And folks, while we're here, it is so wonderful to experience the presence of God. But one day... This is the part that makes Baptist preachers want to dance. One day, we're going to see Him face to face. One day, we're going to stand in His presence. We're going to look forward to that day that we see Him face to face. Amen? When we truly grasp this truth, listen, when you truly grasp this truth, that you will stand before God, you will stand before His presence, it will revolutionize your life. Because you will want to love God more. Do you realize, dear friends, that the day is coming when we are going to stand in the presence of the everlasting Father? We're going to enter into the presence of the King of Kings. You and I will stand in the audience chamber of God Himself. But friend, you don't have to wait until that day to see Him. You can see Him today. Those who know God, those who know His Son, bask in His glory, bask in His presence every day and from this day to forever. If you will seek God with a pure heart, you will see Him here. If you will seek Him with your whole heart, you will see Him here. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall what? See God. Watch for Him, friend. Watch for him, brother. Watch for him, sister. Listen for him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is always at work around you. And dear friend, I'm going to tell you, we can stand amazed in his presence there and here. Do you remember the song? I stand amazed in the presence. Sing it with me. Of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. Then I like that fourth verse. It goes like this. When with the ransomed in glory, his face I at last shall see, 'twill be my joy through the ages. What? To sing of his love for me. And I started this where I can sing it. I'm a tenor. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous. Can you see him? Do you see him? You can. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your promise that your children will see you. And we don't have to wait until the forever time. God, it is here and now. We do see you in our hearts, in our life, in your working, in your word, in prayer, in your church. God, thank you that you reveal yourself. Friend, let me ask you this. Do you seek God? Do you want to see him? Do you really want to see him? And friend, God's word says you need to seek to be pure in heart. Seek him with all your heart. He says if you seek him with your whole heart, you will find him. That is God's promise. Would you like to find God? Would you like to see God? You can. It'll start with this understanding that you want to be single-hearted. Maybe that's our prayer. Oh, no, for sure it's our prayer this morning. God, help my heart to be single, to be simple, to be pure. Would you ask for God's forgiveness for your sin? Ask him. If you do it in earnest, folks, did you know that he'll forgive you? Oh, Father, we come before you knowing that we need your forgiveness. We need your restoration. We need the difference maker in our life, your Holy Spirit. Call on him. Friend, call on Christ Jesus. Call on his Holy Spirit to help you to walk with a pure heart. As you do.
Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for his help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really as simple a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer and invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know You personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from You. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank You, Father, that He rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask You to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in You alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.